Oh no no, oh no no, it's another episode of the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. You've entered the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker.
Hey, you've just entered the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. If you've come for actual legal advice, you need to turn right around, honey. You need to get out of here, because you ain't going to get none of that. They quibble, and they squabble, and they bicker. But if you want to hear meaningless opinions, this is the right place. They got plenty of that. Stuff that makes no sense at all. They go off on tangents. It's crazy talk. If that's your thing, keep listening. They'll keep talking.
Yay!
Welcome back to the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker on December 9th, 2020. Donald Trump still is not conceded to be president, and we move on. So we have a brand new client, brand new, but everybody knows this client. The client is Killing Me Softly with Han Solo. And that brings us into the whole world of Star Wars. And I just have to say, Luke is a little bitch. And that's pretty much my point of view about Star Wars, that Luke Skywalker deserved no credit for pretty much anything. He whined his way through 9 movies, if he was even in 3 of them. He deserves nothing, no credit. And I was never a big fan of Mark Hamill as an actor. You know, so
wow.
Anyway, overall, relatively entertaining movies. You know, the first 3 I enjoyed. Except for when the Ewoks came in, and then it was like, okay, we've really gone downhill now. So there you go. You guys feel free to take this any other direction you want, but Han Solo,
I would like to defend Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, I mean,
yeah,
as a voiceover actor. He's one of the finest voiceover animation actors.
What did he do voiceovers in Star Wars other than the cartoons?
Nothing in there. He's the Joker in the Batman series, and he's done tons of animated stuff.
So it would have been better if he had played the Joker in the Star Wars movies?
No, he does play the Joker in the Batman.
No, I said in the Star Wars movies, he should have just played that part instead.
Well, if you couldn't see him, if like he could just be an animated character, he could do the voiceover for the Joker.
So if Darth Vader had to if Darth Vader had to go up against the Joker, who would win, Greg?
Well, it would be Darth Joker.
No,
in that universe,
everyone
evil
characters.
Is named Darth. Darth Vader versus Darth Joker. It would be Darth Vader.
Wasn't a Darth. I mean, Jabba the Hutt wasn't a Darth.
He wasn't evil. He was just misunderstood because he was overweight. And people don't like fat people. Always malign fat people.
Either they're jolly or they're evil is what you're saying.
He wasn't that evil. He was doing a job. You know, he had to do some stuff. He's compromised maybe. But deep down, he had a good heart.
Did he? How would you suggest his good heart showed through in the movies?
There was a lot of things that were
because he didn't actually kill Han Solo. He actually just put him in kryptonite.
Well, I mean,
Han
Solo was fucking with him. He did what he had to do. I mean, there's some cut scenes from
that
movie.
He did what he had to do, even Jersey.
Hey, yeah. But there's some cut scenes from that movie where Jabba does a lot of nice things for the people of Tatooine, like feeds the poor and stuff and is nice.
Did you call it tattooing?
Tatooine.
The planet is tattooing. This is where everyone goes to get their tattoo training.
Well, is the pronunciation Tatooine or Tatooine?
I think it's Tatooine.
It's Tatooine, and
Tatooine.
There's cut parts of the movie where Jabba the Hutt was Bernie Sanders.
Yes. He wants to bring socialized medicine to Tatooine.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You guys just don't know. You guys aren't as big a Star Wars geek as I am. I read all this stuff.
There was no cutscenes that I recall of Jabba the Hutt
handing
out candies to young Tatooine children or the sand drone people or whatever they were called.
Liked the Ewoks, actually? Me and my friends hated the Ewoks when we were
No,
kids,
I didn't so say you... I liked the Ewoks. I said that's where everything went to hell when they brought the Ewoks in.
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous.
It's like, why not just bring in the Muppets and just, like, make it fully downgraded to, you know,
children's
fair?
They did. Yoda was a Muppet.
That's true. It's Frank Oz.
Yeah. It was Frank Oz, and he was a Muppet. So,
yeah.
That was, I mean, the Ewok thing was obviously, you know, a cash grab. I mean, one of the problems with Star Wars after the first movie is they realized how much money could be made on toys and gadgets and shit. And so the Ewoks were just a natural progression of that. But I want to say, if you think about it, the Ewoks were some evil little fuckers. They were going to eat those people. They were going to eat Luke and Han Solo.
Well,
and
that doesn't make them evil. That's kind of like if we eat cows, we're evil. You know, it's just a different species. They didn't know what the species was that came in amongst them. You know, they're just carnivores.
No, because they were sentient. It was obvious they were walking upright and they had technology and they tried to talk to them. Nah, the Ewoks knew what they were up to. The Ewoks are evil bastards. I hate
them. Well, you know, I think we just we should put them in a boxing ring with like the Jawas. Like the
little... Jawas would kick their ass. Jawas are badass.
You think so?
They're like ninjas.
Yeah.
Damn ninjas.
They're like ninjas.
They're little pawn shop motherfuckers. They're little Guidos.
Hey.
I got some droid parts here for you. You want a droid part? I got another one. I got lots of them. They're all just roaming the desert for droid parts because that's where the droids go to die.
I'll get it for you wholesale.
There's tons of droid parts throughout the desert of Tatooine, which for some reason the Jawas are roaming around looking for.
You guys probably know this, but George Lucas wanted the Ewoks to be like kind of metaphor for Vietnam, Endor, because they were like this very like low technology people, and yet they fought off this hugely technological empire successfully.
That sounds racist, Greg. You're a racist.
No, I said low technology. Vietnamese didn't have the money to have helicopters. And
you're equating the Vietnamese as Ewoks, that they're little furry people. That's just very racist, Greg.
Okay, yeah. Ewoks are cute, and so are Vietnamese people.
If George Lucas wanted to make some homage to Vietnam, why did he use little teddy bears? Come on.
You know the story behind that. They were supposed to be Wookiees, but they didn't have the money to have, you know, hundreds of six-foot-tall guys with giant uniforms, so they figured we could have all these little furry costumes. This is true. I'm not making this up. They were supposed to, in the original script, it was a Wookiee thing.
So George Lucas didn't have enough money by Return of the Jedi to hire a basketball team? I can't believe that's true.
Yeah,
this is what I've heard.
I'm calling bullshit on that too. Who'd you
I'm
hear
gonna call bullshit on
some
that.
Some guy who's homeless down the street from you? Is that the one who told you the story?
Yeah, he's my source. He works at Lucasfilm though.
He used to work there, and then he was fired, kicked out on the streets, living, drinking 40s on the corner of Cesar Chavez Boulevard and Powell, right near.
Because he was making stories up about George Lucas.
So I'm going to tell you what happened. So you see the Ewoks, they're supposed to be like little Chewbacca's. They're supposed to be Wookiees, but you know it's better if we just halved them up and have like 100 more of them as opposed to like maybe 10 of the actual Wookiees. Yeah, that's a lot less money, yeah. And plus, we can exploit those little people because they don't charge as much as normal-size actors.
Well, he's the one who told me about the Jabba the Hutt scenes, so I don't know. Right. Maybe led me astray, I don't know.
I think this guy is off his rocker.
He told you the planet was about tattooing people. And
Jabba the Hutt was a socialist.
People traveled from across the galaxy to get the awesome tattoos at tattooing.
It was the best, apparently, in the galaxy.
Yeah, you know, that makes me think, though, if you are somebody from another planet, what tattoos would you be getting that, you know, obviously would be different from the ones that we have here on our planet? You know, like here, it's like sailors have anchors. So would they have, like, little pictures of space shuttles or something on their arms?
Sure. Lightsabers.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You'd think, like, some of those Jedis would think that they're, you know, too cool for school or something, and they'd have to get like specialized tattoos of their best lightsabers.
There'd probably be some mystic rune though, or some weird symbol that's from their mystic rites.
And why aren't more of those lightsabers all tricked out, you know, like lowriders? No, you'd have like a lowrider lightsaber in some way, you know, not in the same way because obviously they're not vehicles. But I mean,
What would a lowrider lightsaber look like?
Oh, I would think you'd have to have some kind of bling at the end of it. Maybe it'd have a little transistor radio or something that would be in the end.
So you push a button and it goes.
Yes, that would be awesome.
You know, well, that,
then I might be more interested in the movies.
You know that Samuel L. Jackson demanded two things.
A purple lightsaber, I think I heard.
Purple lightsaber, and that on his lightsaber was a BMF, was inscribed on it.
Big badass motherfucker or something?
Bad motherfucker, which was kind of his thing. So, and George Lucas was like, no purple lightsaber. And he was like, no, there's going to be a purple fucking lightsaber. And he's like, okay. And he goes, and it should say bad motherfucker on it. So they compromised on BMF.
All right, so there you go. The first actual tricking out of part of a lightsaber, but it should be more than just initials being engraved on it. I mean, they're a lot more creative than that in these futuristic societies.
A keychain from it with, like, a little rabbit feet?
It's like a whole big ring of it, like they're all janitors, like the janitor Jedi.
He would have,
like, all of his rings, all of his keys connected to the end of his lightsaber. It just goes jangling around.
It'd be efficient. I mean, you know.
It would. You know, I wonder if you could just, like, toss the keys at the locks to be able to open up the doors, too.
One of those zipper keychains, you know, that you can pull out of your pocket, still holds onto it.
Zipper or a chain, like a chain wallet?
Yeah, that's what I meant. It's not a zipper, but it kind of extends. It comes out of your pocket and it holds onto the key. Like people in the South seem to have them a lot.
You know, that's the thing that I never understood with the lightsabers is why didn't any of them have tethers? No, for crying out loud, surfboards have tethers for people. Why don't lightsabers have tethers? You think those things would be easily dropped, you know?
Yeah.
I guess you could look at it as because they have, like, a telekinetic ability, they could, like, will it back to their hands.
Right.
But I would think that you could drain some of your energy doing that. It'd be easier to just have a little loop, like racquetball rackets, you know? Keep it from dropping out of your hand, especially.
Brilliant.
Yeah, if somebody tries to knock it out. It's too hard to do good. And, you know, and why end at lightsabers? Other people have phasers. Why couldn't they be like light phasers, which I would think would be better at close distance anyway than a lightsaber.
So you're getting into Star Trek here. Is that what you're saying?
Phasers? Well, they had phasers in Star Wars.
Like laser guns? Like
That's what the stormtroopers had, right?
Yeah.
I'm not following.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out why they held on to these sword relics.
Because it's an elegant instrument of destruction, and the other ones were crude. And I think Obi-Wan said something to that effect.
I guess it's kind of like, you know, looking at constables in Great Britain, you know, since they don't carry weapons, but they would necessarily have to go against people who do have weapons. So they have billy clubs. You know, maybe if they're supposed to be like the police officers of the universe, they might have something a little more powerful than
They're like samurai swords, and George Lucas was very influenced by Kurosawa and the samurai culture. So
I understand the influence. Like, I'm just talking about from a practical level. They just don't seem very practical.
You can't shoot someone from 100 yards with that thing. You'd have to throw it at them.
Right. You know, and if you have like this telekinetic ability anyway, you could just crush their heads. You wouldn't need to, like, come after them with a lightsaber, especially if you're planning on stabbing him or something.
Like the guy in Kids in the Hall who used to crush people's heads.
Right.
Imagine if
he had a lightsaber. Imagine, you know, like, there's lots of people out there that you probably wouldn't want to see a lightsaber in their hands.
Like drunk people?
Like Britney Spears, for example.
She could be great at it.
I don't think it would be a good idea for her to have one, though. I think it would be dangerous.
Oh, because she's such a screw up.
She would lose. She would use it irresponsibly. I don't think she'd be a responsible Jedi Master if she actually went that far.
She's not even a responsible human being, so I don't think she'd be a responsible Jedi Master.
I wouldn't trust Britney Spears with a can opener. So
I believe she was like attacking people that live near her with a can opener. She
certainly went after him with a broom.
Was it a broom?
Was a broom, and like at a gas station or something, right after she shaved her head. Yeah.
Although this was like 10, 15 years ago now. I think she's probably cleaned up her act a little bit since then.
Not really.
His friend, Lithium.
You gotta
follow her on Twitter. I follow all the basket cases on Twitter.
Do you? Who do you follow on Twitter, Brendan, of the basket cases besides Brittany?
Boba
Brittany, Lindsay Lohan. She's always fun. There was one girl who was like
Tara Reid or something, or
no, she was a child actress and she had this huge meltdown and then she went offline. It was unfortunate. That was probably six, maybe seven, eight years ago.
Was that the one from Different Strokes?
No. She croaked pre-Twitter.
Oh, okay.
With the girl from Blossom?
Might have been.
Blossom.
No, Punky Brewster.
No, it wasn't Punky Brewster.
Didn't
no.
She go kinda...
No.
Margot Kidder?
I don't remember, but anyway.
Because Margot Kidder, she was like homeless for a while.
Well, I mean, Carrie Fisher was strung out on drugs for years.
Yeah. I don't think she was ever homeless, though.
No, I don't think so.
She had those Star Wars residuals.
Exactly.
Well, her mom was a famous actress as well.
Yeah. Debbie Reynolds. Oh,
Debbie Fisher.
Debra Reynolds. Oh, Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Fisher.
Debbie Fisher.
Her married name.
Yeah.
And whatever her dad's name was that began.
Eddie Fisher.
Something else besides. What?
It was Eddie Fisher.
Okay. I got him confused with Eddie Cantor for some reason. Because their first name is Eddie.
Eddie's better?
Eddie Vedder. Yes, Carrie Eddie Fisher's Vedder. Father was Eddie Vedder. He like went back in time to raise her.
It's like Back to the Future.
It's like, I'm going to teach you how to spread pearls on toast.
But, you know, who's to say if she didn't have some kind of family support system and kind of a well-off mom, she could have ended up in a trailer and...
Yeah, it's true. Up. It's like Natalie Cole was in like a similar strait, right? She, I think she prostituted herself for a while because of drugs and
I didn't know that.
Eventually cleaned herself up, you know, to where she was able to bring her career back. But and I don't think she was involved in Star Wars at all.
No.
There's a cut scene from Empire Strikes Back she was in.
Really?
Yeah.
She was in the cloud
city.
Was
she the Banta?
She was under that costume, yeah. The Wampa?
Wampa, whatever the thing was called.
She was giving a massage to Jabba the Hutt.
That's right. Was he in the second? Yeah, I guess he was in the second one because he came in later after the whole.
It was really the third movie where she was, you know, more featured in the, you know, the yacht, the pleasure boat that floated around in the desert.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was some movie that reminded me of. It kind of reminds me of. I think Dune took some of its ideas from that part of that movie.
I thought they got it from Dune.
I think they probably got it from Dune.
The book came out in the 60s.
No, I meant the movie Dune.
Oh, visually. Oh.
That may have been.
Yeah.
You know, I
heard that Marlon Brando, the guy on the corner, told me that Marlon Brando was originally cast as the Rancor.
He
wouldn't do it. He asked Rancor for too much money.
What's a Rancor?
He's that big thing in the pit, the sand pit that's going to eat everyone. He's that giant octopusy looking thing.
No. That's the Sarlacc.
Sorry.
The Rancor was the monster that they dropped the chick with the tubes into, and then the thing ate her, and then Luke got dropped down there.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Rancor.
The chick with the tubes.
Yeah.
What's the I'm so lost like blue, right now.
Do you remember the
fat tubes?
I'm just thinking of, like, the character from Fifth Element now.
Yeah, kind of like that.
The one that was singing?
Yeah, no, exactly like that.
They were sisters. Got dropped down some tubes.
Remember in the third movie when they're on the thing and Leah's all dressed all sexy and holding on to him and Jabba's having a party and there's this green dancer who's sort of dancing suggestively in front of him and then he drops her into
Okay. So but she had tubes on her.
She had these horn like things that came out of her head. But they weren't horns, they were like fleshy phallusy kind of tubes.
Almost like a ram's horns, but not horn. Right? Kind of like a ram.
But exactly like the chick from Fifth Element, the singer.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was thinking that was more like tentacles on that person.
Now yeah, I just want to talk about Fifth Element for the rest of the show.
She had tentacles out the side of her head.
Fifth Element, I really love that movie. It's got some silliness to it, too, but I do like the... some interesting artistic designs that were done in that particular movie. Kind of like out of the Heavy Metal magazine, if I remember correctly.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
One of the main set designers was one of the artists for that magazine way back
when. Yeah, Mobius. His name
was
is.
It him?
Yeah, I think he did. Or they stole his ideas, because a lot of directors do. I did see recently, it's been years since I've seen the original trilogy. I did watch Return of the Jedi about 10 years ago. And it was strange. As an adult, I didn't mind the Ewoks that much. It's just a shitty movie all around. Like, Han is acting totally out of character. He's being a total wuss to Leia. He's not the cocky guy that you grew to love in the first two. There's all these things that are just, like, badly written. The characters are a little off. So, like, the Ewoks was the least of my problems. When I saw it again, I was like, this just really sucks, this movie. Like, it's just really shit the bed. I mean, There's definitely some great action. There's some great action in it, definitely. But as a whole, it doesn't hold up. And it's not the Ewoks' fault. I mean, they made it worse.
Out of 9 movies, 6 of which are arguably some real shit movies, you're picking Return of the Jedi to shit on?
No, I'm saying
it's saying the, of the first
part of the
three.
First revered trilogy that's all considered canon. But the next three obviously sucked with Jar Jar Binks. Nobody likes them. Well, a lot of people do, but they're wrong. But then the last three aren't that bad. I saw one or two of them. Oh, they were good movies.
No.
They were decent. They didn't have the magic that Star Wars and Empire had. But they were well done, well cast, great acting. I thought they were fine movies. They weren't embarrassing like Jar Jar Binks ones were. Episodes 1 through 3.
Jar Jar Binks aside, at least the prequels told a story that made some sort of sense and kind of brought the whole arc together. The last three were hot garbage, especially the last two. The last two were just total shit. Rey coming out of nowhere.
I didn't see him. I only saw the first one. I saw the first one and maybe part of the second. But I thought it was good, the first one.
Well, you're like lauding these last three, and you haven't even seen all three of them. What are you, crazy person?
I didn't say lauding them. I said the first. I said that the very saw the one or two. I guess I only saw one, maybe. But I thought it was well done. It was a well done action film. It wasn't great. It's not like I'd run out and say, you got to see this movie. But it wasn't like, oh God, this is one of the shittiest movies I've seen in a while. I thought it was okay.
No,
I thought that in terms of all of these Star Wars movies, they're just as crappy as any of the other ones.
What? Heresy.
And what did you say? Namaste?
Heresy.
It sounded like you said something else. In the final three movies, there was actually some really decent action sequences in there that I liked. There was some special effects I thought it was an interesting concept that the main character winds up being like the granddaughter of the Emperor. You know, but the fact is that here's the ongoing theme between each trilogy. There's always some whiny bitch who's like the main character. So we have, like, in the first three movies, we get the whiny bitch that is Luke Skywalker, and then the prequels with the whiny bitch that is Anakin Skywalker, and then in the final three movies, it's actually Luke being a whiny bitch again for three movies. So it's like that's like,
yeah, because he wasn't in the first one at all,
wasn't he?
No.
No.
Oh, that's right. He comes back as a surprise in the second one because it's Han who gets killed in the first one, and then Leia's like on her way out by the second movie or something like that.
Did you guys cry when Chewbacca cried when Han got killed? When Chewbacca went, "Urgh!"
I was surprised more than anything that they would kill off Han Solo, you know, but I figured that was probably Harrison Ford's doing. He's like, all right, you get me for one more and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Get me the fuck out of here.
I wasn't sad at his death. I was sad at Chewbacca's reaction because I love Chewbacca and that he was so – that was good acting.
And speaking of whiny bitches, Chewbacca was a whiny bitch too. Let's just toss that into the mix as well.
Yeah, but he's so lovable.
He whined a lot. Yeah, it's because he's furry.
Yeah, I'm a furry.
And you can never understand what he's – who knows what he was saying, you know.
No, it did sound like he was whining. He was going, "Yeah!" Like anytime something bothered him. "Yeah!"
Well, he's going to threaten to pull out the droid's arms if he loses the cartoon chess match, you know.
Yeah, it sounded more angry, but sometimes Han would do something he didn't like and he just kind of go, "Yeah!" Almost like some sad sack going, "Yeah!"
So there's your ongoing theme regarding Star Wars movies, is that there's just a lot of whiny people in them. Like
but
Kylo,
it's just the
like Kylo, not, yeah, well, Kylo Ren. I guess is a Skywalker because he's the grandson of Anakin, right? Mm. So he's totally whiny through his whole arc throughout those movies.
Is that the guy with the big nose?
Adam Driver's the actor.
Does
he have a big nose? He's a tall guy.
That's huge. It's a great nose. He's got one of the best noses ever. I'd kill for his nose.
Who amongst all the noses, like, where would he fit? Like, what nose would you say is a better nose than Adam Driver's nose?
Well, before that, I thought that the guy, I can't remember his name right now, the guy from The Pianist, and he was in Summer of Sam.
Adrian Brody.
Thank you. I thought, wow, nobody will ever top that spectacular, regal, beautiful nose of his. And then Adam Driver, he's got a schnoz that could rival.
I don't think it's as noticeable as Adrian Brody's, though.
It doesn't have as much character, but it's big. But I would like to see a nose off between those two, like a lightsaber duel, but with their noses.
I think probably the biggest nose that would have been out there is probably Andre the Giant's nose.
Yeah, but that had no character. It's a big flat, like a gin blossom. You know, just like.
Yeah, but if you'd remove that nose and put it on anybody else, it'd be gigantic because it came off that gigantic head of his.
It'd be like an orange.
Because Andre the Giant's head is probably the size of my stomach.
Yeah, well, it has to be a nose to face size ratio. You can't be throwing Andre the Giant's nose in there. That's like.
I think that just makes it more fun. If you could actually grab Andre the Giant's nose and start tossing around like a baseball or something, mm-hmm. it could be very, very interesting, actually. But then if you put it, like, say, in the middle of Greg's forehead, and then it would be just a whole new ballgame. But
you
anyway.
One sick fuck, Matt.
What are you talking about?
I just can't understand the way your brain works sometimes.
So, Matt, are you more of a Star Trek guy than a Star Wars guy?
You know, I have my own issues with Star Trek, too. I mean, I'll just say this straight out. I've enjoyed the Star Wars movies. I've enjoyed the Star Trek movies. I'm not really obsessed with either, but I watch them all. I think for the sake of, I'm more of a completist. Like, I like to finish things. So if I, like, get involved in a storyline, I like to get it done. Like, if I start a book, I got to finish the book at some point. You know, I might not finish it right away, but I got to always have it in mind, like, that's a thing that I got to complete, and then I'll be okay with it. That's how I gain closure from things.
So when you were a little kid, you saw Star Wars, and in your brain you said, I have to watch every fucking Star Wars movie made to the day I die.
Well, no, because when I first saw Star Wars, I didn't know there was going to be a ton of Star Wars movies after that.
But now you're committed, though. Are you going to keep watching every Star Wars movie that comes out for the next 30 years?
You know, it's movies, not the cartoons, though.
Yeah.
Because I know the cartoons are something that gives a lot of information in between. But from what I understand about these last three movies, they completely took the mythology of Star Wars and erased everything that had pretty much come before within all of the books and the cartoons and things.
Now, yeah, they
created like a different mythology or something.
They rebooted.
Yeah. So kind of like the same guy who did this, didn't he? Didn't he the one who rebooted Star Trek too? Abrams, I think. Wasn't he involved?
J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
Well, the thing was, J.J. Abrams did an okay job with the first one. And then they gave the second one, for reasons I don't understand, to Rian Johnson, who's a piece of shit director.
Wow.
And he ruined it. And then they had to literally bring J.J. Abrams back in to try to fix what Rian Johnson did, in my opinion.
I tell you, the thing I enjoyed most about the most recent Star Wars movie was some of the special effects in there were just freaking awesome. I love the entire fight sequence between Kylo Ren and the girl whose name, Rey, who's I think her name is, on the, like, the water planet that they were on where these giant waves are crashing everywhere. I just thought that was just a really fun sequence. And then whenever they go to, like, the shadow planet where all of the Emperor's boats are, I don't know, boats, they're the big Star Destroyers, same thing, boats. Star Destroyer, it's all the same size, they're all the size of Adam Driver's nose, but anyway, actually, if that's what all of the Star Destroyers were based on, was that they took the shape of Driver's nose, and they made all of the Star Destroyers on that shape, Greg, so that should make you happy, I think, right, Greg?
It does.
Yeah,
I like boats in space. Boats in space is a great idea.
I think it's a great name for a movie. It was like straight out of the Muppet Show, which is Pigs in Space. It'll be Boats in Space. Now, if you combine the two, you get a pig boats in space.
I work with this kid. He's like, wasn't even born when even the Jar Jar Binks, who's just being born, came out. And he's such a Star Wars fanatic. he's read every book, all the comics. So he knows.
You're like, going to have to repeat what you said, Greg. You totally lost your signal. It looks like Greg is gone.
I'm not muted. Hello?
No, no. There you are. You're back. I think your signal went out.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I was saying I work with this kid. He's like 25, and he's like a Star Wars encyclopedia. He's read all the books. He can tell you where all he knows the whole canon. And he was so sad when Disney bought Lucasfilms. They said, that's not canon anymore. We're making our new reboot.
Yeah, and everybody in my household who are Star Wars nerds are all upset about that as well.
Yeah, so
I'm like, who cares? If they're entertaining movies, I don't give a crap. So
yeah, me, same way.
Yeah, who gives a shit about stories or history or whatever? Yeah,
just love and childhood memories.
Yeah, forget the mythology or how the story was supposed to go or what we grew up listening to. Just give me some fucking CGI and maybe a little cute like monster that we can all buy for our kids at Christmas. Yeah, fuck Disney.
Wait, could you do that noise again, Brendan? See, you know, that's all I really needed from this episode.
Yeah. You can use it. You know, just
we
drop
can
it
get
in.
Rid of everything. We can get rid of everything else we talked about. If I could just have that soundbite.
Matt, how would you like it if Jethro Tull reformed with none of the original members and they played all this kind of techno new wave music, but they were Jethro Tull?
That's kind of like the story of the album Under Wraps by Jethro Tull.
Oh, okay. That's what happened? It really happened. I'm sorry. And you didn't like it, did you?
And actually, they couldn't really reform because they've always had like kind of floating members to a large degree. And as a matter of fact, one of the members is now is trans. So one of the keyboard players became a female somewhere down the line. So they couldn't actually be the same person.
Keyboards anymore?
No, it'd still be keyboards, but it just wouldn't be the same person.
But as long as the flute guy's in it, that's all anyone cares about. But
right.
Even if he wasn't in it.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is he's basically carried the label for ever, you know. It's basically him and, like, the guitarist stuck around the longest, I think.
Yeah.
And then the guitarist finally retired. But, you know, Ian Anderson, he's been floating around. He even did some concert that was about the name of the band, you know, in other words, because the band name was named after some 18th century agriculturalist or something. That's who Jethro Tull actually was some gardener from the 1800s. And so he did like a tour about that guy, which.
Wow.
I've always wanted to know more about him.
That's fascinating.
Isn't it?
I can't understand people who get into Star Wars when you have this level of arcane knowledge about a band that
never had a hit?
Yeah, never had a hit. Yeah, I get it. I get it. The Star Wars people are fucking crazy.
Okay, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just talking in terms of how much does it affect me personally? Not much. You know, like if Jethro Tull were to just fall off the face of the planet or do everything different,
right.
it really doesn't affect me that much. So
right. I think we covered this a little bit in our last episode that pretty much everything, nothing phases you. Everything could fall off the face of the earth because none of it really matters anyway because you have no passion in your life for anything.
That's except like maybe. Sure.
Yeah, except maybe doing karaoke. Ah!
Okay, guys, let's. I want to defend the client here. The new movies, though, what'd you think of Rogue One? I thought that was a great movie.
Well, the client isn't for defense, or we're just representing.
Oh, I'm defending Rogue One. Rogue One, I thought, kicked ass. I thought Rogue One.
Of all the movies, that's the one that I slept in twice.
Really?
I can never seem to make it all the way through that movie.
That Blind Samurai.
I think that what happens is I fall asleep before the Blind Samurai comes in because I've never seen the Blind Samurai come.
You know what the biggest flaw of that movie is? The biggest flaw of that movie is that Blind Samurai, you see him in the first 20 minutes doing this kick-ass scene and you never really get to see him do much again. And it's like, I want to see 4 more scenes at least in the next hour with this guy.
I mean, I like the concept of that movie. I like the idea of you're telling the story of the guys who got the plans for the Death Star.
And it was well done. It was really good. Great action, good acting for an action movie, you know?
Yeah, I just can't remember hardly anything of it, though.
It was easily the best of any of the Star Wars except the original trilogy, and it was probably better than Return of the Jedi.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best Star Wars movie since Empire.
It wasn't Jet Li in that movie. Was Jet Li in that movie? No. I'm thinking of somebody else.
I don't think so.
I'm thinking of somebody else, I guess.
Yeah. One thing where, you know, a lot of Star Wars people were like, after the Jar Jar Binks movies, I'll just call them, episode 1 through 3, I believe, people were like, maybe we can't trust George Lucas with his own creations anymore. Like, maybe the Russians got to him or something. I don't know. But
they influenced them.
So that's when totally Disney what it was. Got the rights, people were just like, oh, these are not as embarrassing. There's no Jar Jar. But I gotta say, now, no matter George Lucas, any faults he has, he still created this wonderful mythos and this great world building, great sci-fi, great. It's just still like resonant. That's why kids still love it. I think our grandchildren are gonna love it. And there's something really great that he created, even though he didn't know what to do with it after a while.
Well, they're basically the westerns of our era, basically. It's just set in
space. It's a lot of things, yeah. Though. It mixes, you know, the Hero of a Thousand Faces, Joseph Campbell, the classic archetypes, but it does it in such a. And I just love his like names for things. I think he's a great guy at naming. Like, if I ever have a kid, I'm gonna call up George Lucas and say, make up a name for my kid. And I'll come with some great thing like Jalabin or I don't know. He's good at naming things.
What are you waiting for? Just call him now.
I don't have a kid.
Then we even just pretend that you do.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to call him, yeah, give him a call. Give him a ring. Hey, George
Lucas. Do you
have
a copy of the Los Angeles
phone book? I'm having a kid. Maybe from 1953 I might have a copy lying around somewhere.
The Los Angeles
phone book. Because I like to hold on to those things. That's the only thing I have a passion about, Brendan, is old phone books from Los Angeles.
Hey, you know, whatever.
It's what stirs my soul.
Whatever floats your boat, dude. If you're totally into phone books, fucking directory it up, bitch. Go for it.
That's Emperor phone books.
Or gag balls in your mouth, whatever.
Whatever you want to do.
Like a collection of those, of balls in the mouth.
Yeah.
From famous celebrities, this gag ball was once in cotton. Oh, my God, I said cotton. I almost said cotton head. I meant to say carrot head.
Carrot head?
Carrot Top once had this gag ball in his mouth.
The carrot head is like his cousin.
Yeah. Copper Top.
It's a whole family of carrot people. Carrot Top, Carrot Head, Carrot Elbow.
Carrot Baby.
Right.
Baby Carrot.
Okay. I gotta say.
Baby Carrot.
Greg doesn't know about those things.
I do. The kids at work let me know about Baby Shark.
Oh, okay. I got that's right. That I forgot you were around those people.
Yeah, I'm in touch with the youth.
The youths of America?
Yeah. I got to say, though, the major thing George Lucas fucked up, and this is why I was like, he shouldn't even be allowed to touch his own creations, is saying that the Force was like this chemical thing or scientific biological process.
Is that the midichlorian thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Force was this kind of groovy 70s concept. You know, the 70s was all about Zen and people getting into all. And I wasn't that into it, but I just liked it. It was kind of cool. Like, oh, yeah, it's this thing that, what is it, Brendan? The Force connects
us. It binds us.
Yeah.
It's sort of the energy of the universe. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of cool and groovy. And then the saying that it's just like, oh, you're good at the Force because you have more midichlorians in your bloodstream. It's like, fuck that. That's stupid. That just ruined.
The worst thing that he did, absolutely, yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt, I would take a whole movie of Jar Jar Binks.
Me too.
Over that.
That could be coming.
Did Disney reboot that?
What?
In the new Disney, since Disney bought Lucasfilm, they rebooted. Have they kept with that midichlorians idea?
Yes, like in The Mandalorian. It's less, but they're definitely like... Not to spoil anything for anybody, but they're definitely after Force-sensitive people to get their blood, to get their midichlorians.
So that's the one good thing about the reboot that could have happened. That's the one thing I would have said, yeah, reboot it just to get rid of that.
I'm trying to understand what's the big deal about the whole midichlorian thing. Why is this a problem?
Because it was this groovy spiritual thing, the Force, and then it's just like, oh, it's just a condition. It's a medical condition, like having leukemia.
It would be like saying that there's this thing, this Jedis that make Jedis because they have some sort of, they're tapped into some sort of spiritual higher power that binds the universe together. And then it's like, oh no, they just have more of these types of blood cells.
Well, but maybe those blood cells are what's more tied into these things in the universe. You know, maybe that's what gives them more adaptability. I mean, because you'd have to have some reason why some are more powerful than others other than training, you know? It's like they have a better inclination for something. Yeah, it's inherent, but why is it more inherent than others?
You don't need to explain that, is my point. It doesn't matter.
It ruins it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. There's something to be said for not knowing and mystery and what does it all mean, rather than explaining it mechanically. I mean, that's to my
Like clinically
part of the art of the storytelling. That's like sitting and watching a superhero movie and going, well, that couldn't happen because of this, and that doesn't make any sense because of that. It's a fucking superhero movie. Just let it go.
Who's talking to you, Matt?
Well, they had to explain why Superman could fly, which is the whole, you know, yellow sun thing. So you get some idea of what causes that to happen.
That doesn't explain shit.
but that's the reason that's given. So in this case, they're using the midichlorian thing as a reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it just added a different level to the whole story. That's all. I don't think it ruined the freaking movie. It's like such a minimal aspect of it.
But here's the thing, Matt. The thing is, you don't give a shit about it, so you don't get to have an opinion about it.
I can have an opinion about anything, Brendan.
You know, Matt has an opinion.
If you can have an opinion about me having an opinion about something, then I can have an opinion about anything you think I shouldn't have an opinion about.
But he gives a shit about your opinion.
Brendan doesn't give a shit about my opinion. He stated as such.
Yeah. You're right.
Well, because you don't have give a shit about your opinion, so he doesn't give a shit.
I'm just saying, if there are two people that care about something and it means something to them, the guy that comes in and goes, "I think that's bullshit," but you know, blah blah blah.
I watched the movies too, you know, so it's like it didn't ruin the entertainment of the movies for me, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, let's. So what do you mean by ruin?
Well, you guys said that was like the worst thing possible in the movies, is that they discuss the midichlorians.
It didn't ruin the movies for me. Ruin is a pretty strong word. That ruin would mean like, I don't know, I went, fuck this, I'm never watching another Star Wars movies ever because they did this thing.
Watch an entire movie of Jar Jar Binks over because of the midichlorian thing. I just don't know why you feel that strongly about it. It seems like a throwaway thing in the movie.
It didn't really seem that important
to me.
I know. I understand that because you don't understand it, and it's not a throwaway thing.
Matt, you know what it's like?
All right, so what am I supposed to get that makes this so important?
Can I try to explain when the Force came out in the 70s, and, you know, we all grew up watching those cool kung fu movies, I assume. And like the Jedi were like those cool Shaolin monks who were like so cool because they were like, oh yeah, we're just peaceful, but we're totally like our training is part of the spiritual thing we do, which I never even got. Like I don't know what the God is there, if they have a God, but it was kind of cool. It was kind of a neat concept of these like warrior monks who are like spiritual, but then they're also kick ass when they have to be. And it wasn't because they had some chemicals in their blood. They just trained and really like devoted their lives to this study. I don't know. It's just like this cool concept. And I'm a total atheist. I still thought it was cool. And I was just bummed when they clinically explained it and like said, oh, it's just a simple matter. It just seemed to not be as romantic and cool and interesting.
Yeah. I found it added something to them. Personally,
why?
I thought it gave more, it made it more interesting to me.
Based on
it gave like one little piece of data which helped explain whatever they were trying to get you to believe. That's all. It's not like it had that great meaning for me. All I'm just saying is that I found it kind of interesting, the whole midichlorian thing.
Okay.
Plus, it reminded me of something like paramecium by, you know, the way the word was stated. Midichlorian, paramecium, something scientific to go in with the whole. Ghost order stuff that they have. Anyway.
I just wanted to say
You know, because, you know, they all turn into ghosts when they die, and they all have these amazing powers after they're dead.
No, they don't. They don't all turn into ghosts when they die.
They don't?
I didn't know that.
No.
Why don't they? Why don't all of them? Is it because of midichlorians?
No, it's because they were that certain Jedi were trained in that particular skill after death. Qui-Gon Jinn was the first, and he taught Yoda and subsequently Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wait, so they... This is in the movies?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't count if it's not in the movies.
No, that's not true. Canon is not just the movies.
Canon.
There's some great things that are in like books and comics.
That's why I say you don't get to have an opinion about it, because you don't give a shit.
I can have an opinion about the movies. The books are irrelevant. Cartoons are irrelevant.
No, that's not true at all.
They're movies. They're just movies. They're there to entertain you. That's what movies are for.
The cartoons are just cartoons. Books are just books.
True.
Comic books are just comic books. So are movies a superior, higher power of entertainment value and storytelling than other forms?
They're just their own form. They're not superior or inferior. They're just their own form. They don't necessarily have to rely on the others. For example, I'm a big fan of Lord of the Rings, and there was so many liberties that Peter Jackson took in the Lord of the Rings movies, things that were missing from the books that I would have liked to have seen in them. Now, I could choose to be upset about it or not, but I choose not to be.
I'm not.
And I took them on their own merit. In other words, were the movies themselves entertaining on their own, because it's like if you try to compare them, it becomes a different story.
That's not exactly the same thing. So let me explain it to you, right? So Star Wars came out, and this is one of the things that I think is great about Star Wars, and where I think George Lucas really let his fans down, right? Star Wars came out, and after the first movie and second movie for sure. And to George Lucas's credit, he didn't crush these people. People started writing their own books, and they started making comic books. And I don't know what the licensing deals were at the time. Who knows? Or if there was. But the fans themselves took the story and ran with it. And they created a whole universe of Star Wars.
Right.
That George Lucas had nothing to do with and had nothing to do with the movies, but were all based on it. So it became a community.
Okay.
And so that is the difference between, I really wish they would have had that scene in Harry Potter book 4 in the movie and they didn't, but that doesn't mean the movie is bad for me. It's not the same argument.
Well, it's not the same argument, but it's also, there's still not the movie. In other words, the movie is itself its own medium. It's just something different. That's all.
But I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the story, which is the bigger point.
Yeah.
You're talking about the thing that ties in the books with the movies that other people
with the movies, with the stories that the movies created within the story to the next movie, movie to movie, that story.
I read the first Star Wars book that came out, and I just chose not to ever read another one because I just wasn't that happy with that concept. So for me, I just decided to keep on with just watching the movies as being the thing that I rely on.
Matt, do you mean the adaptation of the book, the movie? Do you mean the Star Wars book?
No, no, I'm talking about it was a totally different story from... It was called... what the hell was the name of it? I think it was like a...
Splinter in the Mind's Eye?
Yeah, that's
Splinter
it.
Splinter in the Mind's Eye?
Splinter in Mind's Eye. I was thinking I was thinking Moat and God's Eye, but that was a different book.
Yeah, Alan Dean Foster.
Right.
Famous science fiction author.
Yeah, I mean, it was an entertaining read, but again, it wasn't the movie, so it was like, okay, fine. You know, it's just like I never read the Star Trek books either. I know.
There's a lot of them.
I know. There's tons of them. I saw that too. And, you know, and I could have gone that route as well, but I decided to kind of take out the realm of the people who didn't create the storylines ideas and just move on with whoever created the storylines ideas to give them a little more credit.
So there's something
people have created, but there's not a real canon there.
That's
no,
elitist.
It's just when other people. You're elitist.
No, I want to tell you something.
You're telling me I can't have an opinion about something. Suck your own elitism, Brendan.
No, you just said that I prefer to go with the person who originally created it as the true source of the material, and everybody else who created based on that can go suck dick. That's kind of what you said.
It's similar to if you believe in the Bible, right? So it's lots of people who have their interpretations of what they think it means. I prefer to just read the book and have my own interpretation. There's nothing really wrong with that perspective.
So you don't like Apocrypha, you're saying?
Your analogies fascinating.
They can be entertaining, but that doesn't mean I have to believe them.
So we've jumped from Star Wars canon to the Bible.
Well, it sounds like that's what you're talking about. Where's the
you
word
don't believe
canon?
In anything.
Where does the word canon come from?
Oh, let's not get into word games. I know where canon comes from.
Okay. But, it comes from religious roots, correct?
But Star yes. Wars.
Well, there you
does,
go. There's
does.
The tie-in from religion to the books. Now you understand.
But, hey guys, let me try to explain.
No, that's not how logic works, Matt. That's not how it works.
Well Brendan, since you like to tell me what I don't know how to think, why don't you go ahead and explain everything for me? Like I'm the child that you keep pretending that I am. So go for it.
Well, I don't know, Matt. You do the same thing to Greg and I every episode.
No,
so
come on. You've got something going on here. Get it off your chest. Let's get it out in the open. Come
children,
on.
Children, stop fighting.
Okay. So let's dial this back to the last.
I mean, I'm sorry that you're unhappy with my point of view of regarding Star Wars. Really, there's no reason to be offended by this.
I'm not offended.
You're acting like you are.
I don't give a shit what you think, Matt. We're having
But you're acting like this is some huge issue, and it shouldn't be an issue at all.
I think you're being sensitive right now.
Ditto.
So what do you want to talk about, Matt? Go ahead.
Guys, I just
don't know why we have to be upset about any of this.
I'm not.
That's all.
Can I jump in here?
I think, Matt, that anytime I've expressed emotions beyond – well, anything could be possible, if anything. And you know, well, I look at every side of the argument. Anytime I'm not that way, like I have an emotion, I find you react to it like, oh, calm down, Brendan. Oh, wow, that's really strong. I'm passionate about stuff. You're not. I think that really kind of comes down to it. And
I think that's true. I think that's a very fair assessment.
So when I get passionate about something, you get upset with me because I'm passionate about it. And I get upset with you because you're not passionate about anything. I would love to do a whole show, Matt, about something that Matt is passionate about and not have it be a show where Greg and I kind of share something and then you kind of pick it apart. That would be fantastic. If it's phone books,
karaoke,
fuck Jethro Tull and prog rock.
Yes.
Let's do it. If you're passionate about it, I would give us $5, $10, $15 on whatever the platform is right now, to hear a show where Matt talk passionate about anything.
I hate to disappoint you, Brendan, but okay. I don't think there exists a subject that we can say that I am passionate about. So I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry to disappoint you.
I thought I had a tiny heart.
I take things pretty matter-of-factly, and, you know. But yeah, I guess I was equating you raising your voice with raising it at me as opposed to just raising your voice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So I apologize if you know for taking it wrong.
Matt, can I clear?
And
the
I can
air
only
here.
Blame Greg for everything.
Yes, I mean, yeah. You should. I can barely talk right now, but I just want to say there is. It's not like fan fiction Brendan's talking about. George Lucas is one of the rare creators of a universe or a property, if you will, who actually licensed all these books and comics and checked on them, basically, and made sure they were in canon. So he realized that he created this great universe and he wanted others to expand upon it and flesh it out. He created all these planets. Hey, what are Tarkin Raiders? What do they do on their day off? What are they like? So it is all in canon, or it was before Disney got Lucasfilm.
Hold on a second. I do want to know, what do they do on their days off?
I never read that book, but I think they like to play bocce.
They play golf. They play bocce.
It's a different form. It's a Tatooine version of bocce.
When in the first of the prequels, it seems like they like to attend pod races and shoot at the people racing. So
that's actually a good target practice.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. Yeah. That sounds fun as hell.
I think they were just Tatooine rednecks.
No, you know what? This is another thing. Getting back
they
to
had,
the
view. Make Tatooine great again.
They go out mudding in their trucks.
Oh, yeah. Except those big Banthas.
With bumper stickers on them with that, like, lady, the trucker thing.
It's a make Tatooine great again. It was Mata. Or Mata hats, like Brenna was saying.
Oh, my Lord. So it's that's another thing, getting back to the Vietnam analogy of Return of the Jedi. So the guy in the corner didn't tell me this, but I was watching Star Wars again, and I was thinking, like, the Tusken Raiders seem like fucking evil fuckers, right? You wouldn't want to meet one. But they're like the Native Americans of Tatooine. Like, these moisture farmers came in and started turning, you know, taking over their land. And they were just like fighting back. In the movie, you just think, oh, they're evil. They suck. And right. When you look at it again, it's like they're the Native Americans of Tatooine. They live there. And these like humanoid people like us came and started all these farms and start kicking them off their land. Did you ever get that sense of the Tusken Raiders? Like,
oh yeah, the Jawas and the Tusken Raiders were the original inhabitants of Tatooine.
Yeah,
and
they were the aboriginals.
The whatever the empire or the republic at that point came, and that's why the Jawas. If you ever wonder, like, how did the Jawas build that giant thing that they roll around in? They didn't. They stole that because there was a bunch of mining companies that came and did all this mining, and then left those machines, and the Jawas just figured out how to drive.
Or they just bartered for them.
I think not. I think mostly they all just left, and so they were just there. And the Tusken Raiders were more, you know, organic, and the Jawas were like, hey, let's check out this technology thing.
Yeah, and not to be the dead horse, but I wanted to continue just to say that when Lucas licensed all these things, they did become canon, and they were all part of this wonderful universe he created. So the books are important if you're really into Star Wars. I know you're not passionate about Star Wars, Matt, but if you're a Star Wars fan who is, they are important. I mean, the movies are probably the best thing to do, but all those books give you little background to the world you love from the movies. So and George Lucas accepted them. He actually said, yes, this is true. In my universe, that book is real. That happens, because he would have these guys who read everything and said, no, you got to cut that. That's not what we want in our universe. So, I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan, those books and comics are pretty important to the mythos of it. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy the movies any more or less.
No, right.
But it's not like fan fiction. It's not like some fans are just making up shit and the creators like, I don't know what they're doing. George Lucas approved every one and said, yep, this is part of the Star Wars universe now.
Right, and that's why probably your Star Wars fans in your house, Matt, were upset about Disney taking over. I can only guess. There's multiple reasons you could be. But Disney then came in and then just decided on their own to decide what was actually part of the story and what was not. For instance, Ben Solo and Rey were originally twins. They were brother and sister in the stories we all read and the comic books and all that. They were brother and sister, and Ben did go dark and she went white, but they were brother and sister. So if you know you're watching the movies and you see it, especially the first one, you're immediately, as a fan, you went, oh god, they brought this back. But then you were reminded, oh no, Disney said that's not true. But they still brought these two characters back to tease us. What I mean, just make up a new story then. So that's a little bit of a, like, to give your Bible example, it's like, you know, somebody comes along and rewrites Revelations. And you're like, oh, this is where the serpent comes out of the sea. And they're like, nah, that didn't happen. It's actually a camel and it comes out of a cave. And you're like, what?
It's a kraken.
It's a kraken, right.
That would piss me off as a Bible reader.
I would think.
Yeah.
Matt's gone very silent.
Well, I'm not allowed to have an opinion, so I'm like,
Oh my God!
I can't. Jesus. I'm trying to figure out how I can speak without having one. It's challenging. It's tricky. No, I have no right to one. So I'm trying to figure out at what point I'm allowed to say something.
How heavy is that chip on your shoulder at this point, Matt?
I have more than one.
Yeah. Okay.
So many chips.
I thought we had kind of buried that.
Well, we did. I'm not actually holding a grudge. I'm just saying I'm trying to take what you said to heart, which is figure out where my – you said I went silent. Well, the reason I went silent was I'm going, well, when can I say something without being attacked or having an opinion about what I'm having an opinion about?
We are the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker.
You can have an opinion, Matt. Just don't be a pussy if somebody pushes back on you and get your feelings hurt.
My feelings aren't hurt, as I stated.
They seemed pretty hurt.
I will say it again.
I was trying
to take your point of view to heart, because you said it approximately 2 to 4 times that I have no, I had no right to an opinion, and you were very forceful about that because I have no passion about this, so I don't have a right to opinion. So, okay, so I'm going to listen to what Brendan said because that's why I apologized to you. It was because I had raised my voice to you. And so I was just trying to take this information and go, okay, so when do I speak up? I don't know when to speak up in this case because I don't want to offend Brendan again. So that's
But that's the whole point, dipshit. You never offended me. That's what I told you. You're not listening.
If I didn't offend you, why would you say that I don't have a right to an opinion?
Because I'm trying to express something to you and you're taking it personally. I'm saying you let's give an example.
Telling me I have no right to an opinion is a personal comment.
Hold on.
Though.
Hold on. Let me go back to your religious example so we can just bury this. Hopefully once and for all.
I'm actually good. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to figure out when I can talk again, that's all. No, it's great, Brendan, you're taking it so wrong. You're taking it completely incorrectly.
I read people for a living. I've been in sales my whole life.
You're reading me incorrectly.
Okay,
and you're allowed to be wrong every once in a while, Brendan. You know, it happens. It can happen.
I got it. So let me explain it to you. Going back to your example, let's say that we were having a discussion about Islam. Okay.
Okay.
And let's say that Greg and I were varying degrees of Muslim. Maybe I was a stronger Muslim, and he was more of a reform Muslim, and you were a Jew. And I say to you, if you go, I have an opinion about Muslim, and you blah, 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 blah. And I go, but wait, that's fine, but you're not entitled to having the same level of opinion as somebody who is actually a practicing Muslim, somebody who's actually kind of invested time and effort and whatever into this. That's all. It's just different levels of opinion. Yes, you can say suicide bombers are horrible, and we can all agree on that. Jar Jar Binks was a piece of shit. Great. Got it. Ewoks were stupid. Fine. Mark Hamill is a bad actor, and Luke Skywalker was a whiny bitch. Fine. Those are all fine opinions to have. But so that's all I was trying to say is there's levels of opinion. And when I said, I was simply saying that there are levels of opinion that perhaps Greg and I might have that are different than yours because you're not as immersed in it as we are, then just let us talk and not try to negate what we're saying. That's all I was trying to say.
Guys, I have a very important question here. In Brendan's analogy, can reformed Muslims still drink bourbon? Are they that reformed?
Probably not.
I think it would just depend upon, you know, how they choose to be reformed.
Oh, this analogy totally breaks up then, sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to kind of disagree with that analogy to a certain extent because let's say you're a Jew and you read the Quran, and you can have an opinion about the Quran if you read it. You know, you may not be a follower of that particular religion, but you still have an opinion about it, and it could potentially still be valid because of what you read.
Right.
So that's why when I felt that you were negating my opinions based upon your holiness in the Star Wars canon, I felt you were incorrect in forwarding that religious belief upon me and that I could still have an opinion about it. I could still have a valid opinion about something.
Yeah.
I think I have many valid opinions about religion, which I'm totally not invested in. And I think my opinions are very valid, attacking all of them.
But based on now I can understand that I can't have an opinion about something that I haven't experienced.
Right.
In other words, you know, I didn't get immersed in the entire all the extra stuff outside of the movies that you outside of the movies that you guys did. Which I get it, you know. And I'm not trying to negate your point of view. I'm just saying from my point of view, from my perspective, those were things that didn't matter to me.
I understand.
Based upon the movies, because those are the movies. The movies are the things that I watched. That's what I was interested in of that. So I guess it's like there's a disconnect whenever it comes to getting those other things. And there's no way for me to really know how important that was to you, really, you know, other than having this conversation, you know, where it all kind of came to a head. So anyway, so that's where that comes from. So did we reach an appropriate stage?
Sure.
Okay. You were listening to the marriage counseling firm of Quibble, Squabble, and Bickle right now. the family counseling firm of Quibble Squabble and Bicker.
Well, at the very least, you know, I think this was good for at least this to come to this point. You know, I think it was good because I think there was obviously some stuff sitting here between us that we needed to kind of resolve a little bit. And I think it was just a basic miscommunication issue. You disagree?
No.
I like when you guys argue. It's so good for ratings.
Well, no, he's gone quiet.
No, I'm just tired. I'm just honest to God tired of talking about this. I was having fun, you know, talking about it. And I think you took me the wrong way. And so there you go.
That's okay. Well, I mean, do you think I took you the wrong way in terms of the part when you said I had no right to an opinion?
Because
that's where I think I did take you the wrong way.
Okay, so let's time out. Let's talk about this for a second.
Okay.
What kind of podcast is this?
Quibbling.
Is this quibbling and squabbling and bickering where we correct each other every time somebody says something funny or make fun of somebody else when they do something weird? Or is this a rational, like, debate show where I should respect your opinions and not say something that might come off in a show like that is brash or unruly or mean?
I think it's an extemporaneous show.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, that means it just goes wherever it goes. It goes however it goes. So it's basically, you start off on the topic and it can go to this stage, it can go to some other stage.
Uh-huh.
It can be whatever it was. But I think it's just us having conversations with each other. And sometimes it can get heated. And sometimes we can disagree with each other.
So my point is, you were saying that you got upset or you had whatever miscommunication, whatever you want to say, when I said you have no right to an opinion.
Right. I think that's where I misunderstood you then. You know, I didn't get your underlying meaning, which was that you felt I was negating your point of view by stating my opinion.
I thought this was a comedy show. Maybe I'm confused. I thought we were supposed to be funny, and when people do funny shit, they argue with each other and say funny shit, and no one's supposed to get their feelings hurt. If I'm wrong, I need to know.
I don't know what we're talking about now.
I'm still trying to be funny. I keep trying and failing.
I'm just confused now. Is what just happened? I thought we were just resolving something.
I did too.
If we're only supposed to be funny, then we need to be doing more prep work if we're supposed to be funny through this whole thing.
Okay. I thought we'd resolved it too, and then you were sitting there doing this. You've gone silent because I can't have an opinion.
But now you're making fun of me for. I'm stating a very real thing, though. I am making fun of you. I wasn't stating that in a way that my feelings were hurt. I wasn't at all. I think that's where you're really misunderstanding. Okay, so you refuse to believe me, and that's your right.
Okay.
But you're fucking wrong.
Okay.
You're fucking wrong, Brendan. Get over yourself. You're wrong.
Thanks, man.
You know, it's just not the case.
I was
not speaking because I really was trying to figure out how can I exert an opinion.
You're right. You're right. It's your show. You're right. I got it.
It's everybody's show. It's all
three
of our
not.
Show.
No, it's not.
Why isn't it, Brendan?
It's not because it's not. I didn't even start this thing. So let's just move on.
You're just as valid a part of it as any of us.
Well, I don't know. But anyway.
I don't know. Why do you feel that way?
It doesn't matter.
It matters to some extent because you're stating it.
It doesn't matter.
And you said it before. You know, I don't really consider it's my show.
Okay.
I don't. Not really. I mean, if it was, I would just be over control of everything. You know?
Can we all agree, though?
And you must do this.
Can we all agree I am the least valid part of the show?
No.
We can all agree on that.
I won't agree with that either.
No, I think you're the least vocal, maybe.
Yeah, the most drunk and dumb.
No.
I'm not the dumb part.
I'm like the Flavor Flav of this show.
You're the hype man?
You need to...
Yeah,
where's your clock?
Yeah, you can't see it on Zoom, but it's there. I got a big clock on my chest, but I'm like the guy who's just like, I'm along for the ride and like, you know, like Public Enemy were so talented before. Why the fuck was Flavor Flav there?
Really, if it's anybody's show, Greg, it's your show.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I am getting all the pizza money.
You're the reason why it was created.
Yeah, for my pizza.
No, it's because you say funny things. So you're the one who's the funniest one, you see.
Wow.
Yeah. This is all designed for posterity's sake. Because these conversations happen and funny things would come out. I mean, that's what I prefer, it being extemporaneous, is because we're not like deliberately writing jokes, you know, trying to be funny. At least as far as I know, nobody's like trying to be funny. We're just being our personalities, right?
And well, I work all week.
It happened to say, I don't think so. I think it just comes natural. You know. Anyway, regardless, I'm very sorry for anybody listening if you felt we got too serious. So, and if Brendan, you think my feelings were hurt, I don't know what to say about that. But anyway, I was just trying not to cause further upset. That's all.
Let's just talk about Star Wars.
I didn't want to create a bigger problem, but apparently I was wrong. But I did want to say, well, this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, we finally got an email from somebody.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Shut up.
To,
you're a liar.
I have evidence right here on my phone. If I
don't. Isn't it your wife sent it?
No, it's your sister, Greg. She emailed us.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Through the website. But, you know, if she's listening to the show, then she counts, right? So
she's our one fan. Well,
this is
one of two.
At first, I didn't know it was her, but then I saw the name. Oh, well, it's Maria. It says, you guys are some ensemble. I am hooked and enjoy your chemistry and wide range of knowledge, humor, and entertaining banter. And there are 5 or 6 exclamation points. 5, it looks like. So, at the very least, somebody engaged. And
wait, all the words were spelled correctly?
I think so.
I don't know if the listeners, the 20 listeners, yes, know that he's talking about my sister wrote that. So that's like having your mom say that you're the best at something. You know,
well, I think it's more like your sister saying it.
Yeah, my sister. So, like, it's not like an email from, like, a listener, like, oh, somebody's listening. It's my sister.
But you said, but your other sister doesn't listen.
No.
Right. So she could have stopped listening after the first or second episode, but we've had like 23 of these now. So if she's still listening, there's something, unless it's she's just living your life vicariously through this, you know.
No, she has her own life more than I do.
That's what I thought. So, you know,
much more of a life.
She finds it entertaining in some way. Anyway, so that being the case, we say thank you, Maria, for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks for engaging. And anybody else who just happens to be listening out there, if you send us messages, I'll read them on the air, unless we're getting 1,000 messages a day, and I doubt very much that that is going to happen.
Oh, God, I wish.
Yeah. Anyway, so is there anything else regarding the client killing me softly with Han Solo that we should address that did not get addressed?
R2-D2 is a liar, you guys said. Is that true? Was he a liar?
I don't know. Why didn't he at some point like pull the wool over C-3PO's eyes occasionally? Didn't that happen?
Like you mean his game lover?
Like he didn't tell C-3PO that something was happening, or if I seem to recall something within the movies where
by
C-3PO would get upset
beeping?
That you know, he didn't get information from R2-D2.
Well, I'm just gonna say that those droids are, you know, throughout the entire series, and yet nobody seems to remember them, and they don't sort of let on that they've met these people before.
You know, that hasn't made a lot of sense to me either throughout those movies. The fact that Anakin Skywalker created C-3PO, and that as Darth Vader, he doesn't go, C-3PO, you're here, in the first movie.
Well, I mean, you can kind of write it off because he is a type of droid. So there are other types just like him.
Uh-huh. Do you know what type they are? Because I don't know what type they are. Is it the C3 that's the type, or is it the PO that's the type? Like, that's a protocol thing.
The Y3PO.
I think it's the C3P. Okay. And maybe he's O. I don't know.
Yeah, just because Anakin had created him. So I thought, like, this is something he designed or something as a kid.
No, he built. He was building kind of a kit, you know, like he wrote it on the cereal box, and they sent him the instructions, and he was building his
like an airplane model.
You can get the cog from the cereal if you reach in the bottom of the bag.
Right, right. One piece at a time, you know. So anyway,
I just say though, Darth Vader wasn't Anakin anymore at that point. So even if like his soul was completely erased at that point, he was so evil that he wouldn't even care. He'd be like, oh yeah, my old self that was the decent human created this, but I'm pure evil now. I don't care. You know, like, it's not like you have like a nice little moment of like, oh, I have a wistful feeling for this old droid I created. You know what I mean?
But you think he just wouldn't have recognized it at all though?
I guess
there's like lots of others that look like it. I guess it could be easily.
You might have recognized him, but not commented on it because he stole
the stuff. I guess the biggest liar then, if we're really going to drill down to this, would be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, sure.
Obi-Wan Kenobi fully knew that was R2-D2 and C-3PO. I don't remember having a droid. What? Come on.
Yeah, because didn't R2-D2 like travel with Obi-Wan through the prequels?
Yeah.
Like all over the place. And then whenever you come to the first episode, the first movie, the R2-D2 shows up in his cave and he's like, what's this thing?
Yeah.
You think he would recognize like the battle scars on the droid or something?
Or at least go, I wonder if this is my R2-D2.
How did the movie end where Anakin loses his legs or whatever? Does Obi-Wan fly off with the droids, or does he like give them as a gift to Leia's mother or something? It's like, how does Leia eventually get R2-D2 as a droid anyway?
I think that Obi-Wan kind of gives it to her.
To the mother?
To the mother that raised Leia, and then I think he takes Luke to Tatooine. And Luke got the real raw deal on that one. I mean, I get he's a whiny bitch, but he got kind of shafted. His sister was a princess. He was a fucking redneck on a shit planet with crazy people.
Yeah, there were moisture farmers, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So they farmed water.
They farmed water out of the air.
Like, yeah, dewdrops.
What kind of job is that?
That's shit job.
That sounds fun. That sounds good.
You're basically the kid with the squeegee in the corner.
It makes Burgerville look pretty good, huh?
Well, maybe he had a right to wine through it all then, and maybe that's what. It's like, how did life as a farmer like create this last Jedi person throughout for the final movies? Like, what did that upbringing do for him in the end? Other than
he was strong in the Force.
Everything was unfair.
He was strong in the Force. That's all that matters.
He had more midichlorians.
I'm gonna punch you through the Zoom screen.
maybe I need to look at the midichlorian thing for it to get a better understanding of like why this is such a big upset.
It never happened, and it's non-canonical now. I'm gonna pretend Disney got rid of it, even though I know they haven't.
Well, because what I understand is like Disney came along and they got rid of everything that was considered canon, and that's like the biggest issue or something.
It's still pretty close. It's still they're just saying.
Well, if you didn't watch the final movies, Greg, you might reconsider that notion.
Okay, I haven't read all the books, though. That's the thing. That is part of the canon. And so I wouldn't know unless I read all the books and the comics. No.
I think what's happening is I think they're probably going to slightly course correct on the whole midichlorian force thing. I think we're going to see that change because there was a lot of stuff in the last three movies that was definitely more in the woo-woo, you know, it's a spiritual thing, or it's some kind of something beyond just your blood. So I think they're kind of trying to reverse retcon that whole concept where it's just like, oh, well, you have this many counts of this in your blood, and so there you go.
I would think that you could get some geneticists involved and then create a super Jedi of some kind. You know, you just like recreate the midichlorians or something.
Like Captain America.
Like in a test tube. Yeah, right. You have to do a lot of experiments on little men and then start injecting them with midichlorians to see if their blood can take it or not. And then they can get better tapping into the force. You know, kind of like you have regular plus and premium gas in your car.
Right,
exactly.
So wait a minute. Let me time out.
Regular premium gas.
Matt, you're not watching The Mandalorian, are you?
I saw the first season, and I was getting around to watching the second season. Okay, it's got better production values than I thought it was going to have.
Right. I'm just saying that what you just said, that's exactly where that story is going. That's why I was saying.
Oh, that might make it more interesting then. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, the two guys that are running the Mandalorian did all the Clone Wars and all the Rebel stuff, and they're Star Wars true believers.
I thought Favreau was like behind the Mandalorian or something. Favreau. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was very involved in the Clone Wars.
It's so weird seeing how Favreau's career has turned out, considering how it started.
Yeah.
How did he start?
He started off with this indie film, Swingers, him and Vince Vaughn.
I didn't know that was him. Huh.
Yeah. Well, he was much thinner back then. So he looks like a different man.
We all were. Well, I look like a different man.
Well, I'm much larger than Favreau is currently, but I think Favreau got a little larger because he did that movie Chef and he learned how to cook and make really good stuff.
That's my problem.
He's actually kind of got a cool show on Netflix where I think it's called Chef's Table or something, where he actually goes and visits other chefs because he got training to do that one role, and so he gets like famous people to cook things, and it's kind of interesting.
Netflix?
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. What's Favreau. It called?
I think it's called Chef's Table. I can get the name for you later and text it to you as soon as I know the exact one. But they're relatively short episodes. They're like 20, 30 minutes. So it goes pretty fast, you know, and he learns how to make different things. I can't even remember the stuff he made, like sauce.
Watching like cooking shit, especially if it's a good production value show on YouTube, is like porn for me.
Well, it's like there's one episode where he and Robert Rodriguez were like making chocolate together or something. It was just kind of surreal cook. In some cases.
Robert Rodriguez on all his DVDs has a little extra where he cooks some great meal.
Are you serious? DVD. Are you joking?
Yes. I'm not joking. Robert Rodriguez, I've seen a bunch. I own a bunch
of DVDs. The same guy that told him Jabba the Hutt was Bernie Sanders.
No. I've seen it myself. With my own eyes, I've seen this. He loves to, like, an extra on all his DVDs is like cooking with Robert Rodriguez, where he makes like Texas chili or some awesome Mexican dish. He's a really great cook. He's really fanatical about cooking.
He's like a multi-talented guy because he also like did the soundtracks for his movies too. And yeah,
he's a nut. Yeah, I can't believe that guy, how talented he is.
I mean, I think he and Favreau probably hit it off because they both came out of the indie world, right? Because Rodriguez came out of El Mariachi is his first.
Yeah,
movie.
They probably knew each other at Sundance, you know, all those festivals and
right.
Well, they all,
they got old together.
Do we have time to talk about the Star Wars versus Star Trek thing? How that's such a That's like Beatles versus Elvis.
I guess some people feel that way. I'm able to
it's
be entertained.
It's such a dividing thing.
I mean, Star Trek, I think, just has more history behind it because it started earlier. Yeah. And so they have a lot more of the quote-unquote fan fiction books created, more of a canon.
Yeah.
To it. And plus so many different – although I got to say, one of the new Star Trek shows, Discovery – man, the production values on that are freaking amazing. Like film quality production values. I was very surprised. I watched a little bit of the Picard one. I wasn't as impressed by that one, but the Discovery one, just some of the effects on that are
But it seems like Star Trek as a kid, you know, I was starved for anything sci-fi on TV. And even as a kid in that time when we didn't have the MCU and all these great movies, sci-fi movies, I was bored by it. I was like, this is so fucking boring. It's like a diplomatic corps traveling through space. And there were some decent episodes, but compared to Star Wars, like, that's why there were lines around the block when we were kids, when Star Wars
came out.
Well,
it was also, like, 10 years after Star Trek went off the air.
I know, but there wasn't anything else in between then or even after then that was as exciting as the universe you created. Like, Star Trek, to me, is just so much duller than Star Wars. And, like, there's those Star Trek fans, and I'm always like, really? You like that more than Star Wars? I'm always amazed, because it's not, I don't know. I was always fascinated by that. It's such a demarcation between.
Well, I think it's because Star Trek is probably just more science oriented in the science fiction realm, whereas Star Wars is more fantasy.
Space fantasy. Yes,
yeah,
space
it's
fantasy
more, it's space opera, right? It's got more drama to it than Star Trek did. Although, you know, it's hard to get a little more dramatic than William Shatner, but still, You know, I think it's just appeals to just different personalities more than anything else.
Matt, can you do your William Shatner impersonation right now, just for the listeners?
I don't have a William Shatner impersonation. I could be halting, but I don't think I could do it any justice.
Brendan,
whatsoever.
Can you do that?
William Shatner?
I don't really do voices very well.
I don't either.
And if Matt is saying he's not even willing to try, I'm certainly not going to do it.
I mean, I'd be willing to try. It's just not going to impress anybody.
Here's the thing. As a Star Wars guy, I love Star Trek. I always did. I loved the original series to death. The first few movies. Wrath of Khan was such a fantastic film. I just rewatched it like...
Khan!
God! Like,
first one.
Ricardo Montalban.
You know, I even liked the crappy first movie, though.
Really?
Yeah! I liked them all.
That's the boringest, dullest movie
ever. It was pretty slow, but, you know, there was also the adventure of it, which made it fun, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think I got... Early on, I just got more sucked into the fantasy aspect of Star Wars and kind of went down that path. I know there are definitely people I know that are like Star Trek purists and like Star Wars is bullshit, and there are Star Wars people that... The problem with Star Wars for me was, I think, that it became like watching... Oh, God, I'm going to make a sports analogy. Bear with me.
It's okay.
It became like watching baseball. There's so many fucking games you just don't give a shit anymore. Where with Star Wars, there was 3 movies, and that's it. And there was a bunch of, like, you know, for the time, YouTube speculation and fan stuff and whatever.
What about the Star Wars Christmas special?
I recently rewatched that. It's fantastically horrible.
It's fantastic. B. Arthur as the bartender, the kid.
B. Arthur as the bartender. Oh, my God. It was on YouTube. I watched they had the whole show because no one gives a shit about licensing.
Yeah, I found it too.
And they have the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys making comments along the way. It's
so interesting.
Good.
In the special? That's fascinating.
Matt, have you seen this, Matt?
I probably saw it when it came on TV back in the 80s or whatever.
There's
came
a
out,
scene but... where Chewbacca's father, who lives with them, because it's basically like a Christmas special, but it's like the Wookiee, their version of Christmas, so they're all together for the holidays.
Was his father wearing boxers and scratching himself?
Almost.
Much worse, Matt. Matt, so he's watching whatever they call TV on Wookiee Planet. It's like some orb.
TV.
Yeah, and there's a... You know, it's a variety show from the 70s. It literally is a shitty variety show from the 70s. You know, there's a musical number. There's some bad comedy bits with Bea Arthur at the bar. And there's some singer from the 70s. I don't even know who it was. She's a very sexy woman. And she's dancing and being all sexy. And Chewbacca's father seems to be getting very excited. Like, almost like he's beating off while watching this.
It's
if you
like
watch it again...
Porn.
He seems really, like, a little too into it. Like,
and he's got, like, his face is all kind of cragged up, and it's like he's got some kind of, like, meth teeth. He's a real hot mess.
It got 1 star on IMDb.
That's amazing. It should have no stars on anything. It was such a hot, flaming turd, but... There was 1 5-minute animated segment of Boba Fett that every kid loved.
It says that Carrie Fisher is the one who's saying in that.
No, there's this black
she does.
This woman.
No,
oh, was that Diane Carroll?
Yes, Diane Carroll from the TV show from the 70s, The Nurse.
Got
what
it.
Was that show?
Nurse Jackie. Yeah.
And Carrie Fisher does Not sing Nurse a song, Jackie. And it's very sad, and you feel like she's high as a kite as she's singing it. Her eyes are super watery, and she's just kind of like, oh, it's terrible.
Well, we're at the hour and a half mark, boys. So we can either keep rolling or we can wrap things up. I'm thinking a good way to wrap up the show every week, though, as opposed to me asking you to say something pithy or profound, is we should just say thank you, Maria, at the end, since she's listened to every episode.
Yes.
She sent us a very nice message. And that perhaps this could be like our Carol Burnett thing at the end of the show.
Should I wiggle my ear?
Or your nose? Or
and also Maria sent us all presents, which I
know that's so super cool. I love your sister.
Yeah, she actually sent me a Jethro Tull face mask.
Fucking awesome!
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't fit.
Got specially made.
But But I keep it near me, usually.
And it's specially made by an Etsy lady. One of those Etsy ladies.
Oh, an Etsy lady. You know, I should probably just give it to my wife, and she could probably put bigger straps on it, and then I could actually wear it.
Yeah, she could do it.
More than likely. Yeah, because my wife makes masks. But anyway, all right, so anything else we want to add to the very special Christmas episode of the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Picker?
Should we give a plug for your wife's mask business on Etsy?
No, we won't do that.
So, why not?
So at the end of, not this episode, but the last episode, we had floated the idea of talking about social media. And then if anyone was listening to that episode, they would have thought this episode was going to be about social media, because we had this whole discussion about social media and social
networking. That's what I forgot about Star Wars.
I know. I think that it was fortuitous. I think it's perfect that we should do social media next week, because of the huge lawsuit that just came down today in New York against Facebook.
What's the huge lawsuit?
Oh, you got to look into this. It's like a major freaking thing. So
we'll do some research. Well,
why don't we table it, get familiar with it. There's like a press conference on YouTube right now from the New York Attorney General, where they're just going after them. One of the aspects of it was that they were deliberately creating a monopoly by overspending to buy Instagram and WhatsApp. Like, they gave WhatsApp like $21 billion, and Instagram got like $9 billion, and they weren't even worth that much money. And apparently people within Facebook said, we're not going to get the money back on these. It's basically a reason to squash competitors so that Facebook could have the only thing. So that's the nature of that particular lawsuit. So
I thought monopolies were all okay now in America. I thought we forgot about the anti-monopoly thing.
No, you can still move your little piece around the board, Greg. It's okay.
The other thing that came out that I want to throw out there is that YouTube recently, like today or yesterday or whatever, has decided that they're going to deplatform any videos that talk about the election was a fraud, which is fine. But where do you draw the line on that?
Well, in terms of censorship?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you go, okay, well, these guys are obviously full of shit because facts are facts and he lost.
Yeah.
Well, you can find flat Earth videos galore. So can we get rid of those fuckers?
Yes,
I want to see those.
Well, you know what? I think these are good topics that we can get into, because I have an opinion regarding private organizations that control our content and what rights they have and what rights they don't have. And I think what we're moving into a new arena in terms of law because of how they're becoming news sources themselves, like previously with the news agencies used to basically went through. So anyway, so maybe we can end saying thanks, Maria, and we'll
Thanks, Maria.
This has been the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker computer telecast, where any advice has been designed purely for amusement and deep sea diving. Please take a candy on your way out, pet the lion tamer, and subscribe to this computer telecast if you know it's good for you. The Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker deny all culpability in today's events and are not to be confused with real law offices that have a secretary and books and stuff. Thank you all. Have a good day.